Accession number 12070, row 2.
Where did you get out and what happened to you, please?
Well, we did not know where we were at that time, yes, but it was dark in the night. A lot of foreign screaming and shouting, out, 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 and we did not know where we were going. We have to line up, the women separate and the men separate. That's when I saw my father last time.
So this was Auschwitz?
Yeah.
What did you see of the place from the outside? Presumably very little if it was dark.
Well, it was dark. We just saw the chimneys.
Can you say what happened next, please?
Well, we lined up. We were, my mother and three sisters, we lined up. And my mother was keep telling us, where they take us in the foyer, children, they take us in foyer. So, and a German came and wanted to take mother away. And we said, no, she is young, she can walk. So she stayed with us. But we just saw the three chimneys lit up the sky. And row of German officers who they just flicked their fingers this way or that way. But we managed to save mother. She came with us.
So you just grabbed her?
Well, we did not let her go.
Did anybody try to speak to you? Any of the inmates try to speak to you at this stage to tell you?
No, they were just shouting out, 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 out. We left everything in the horse tracks, and we walked, and they took us in. We walked quite a while. There was on one side a row of beautiful houses lit up, furbished. We thought, well, that's nice. We will be okay here. But the end of the road, they took us into a place. We had to strip completely, except the shoes. And they shore our hair. My mother did not recognize us when we came out the other end. And then we got a shower. Luckily, we had water, not gas. So we came through and thrown some clothes towards us, whatever, to cover our bodies. And for 3 days and nights, we were sitting underground, no trees, no grass, because there was no place where to put us. So after 3 days, relation of my mother heard that people came in from Hungary, and she took us into her barrack. Block, but can't call it barrack.
What
a dozen
like
people
there?
In one block.
What was it like there?
Well, we had, say, about 200 grams of bread and 1 ounce of marge and a plate of soup a day. That was the provision. And every fortnight they took us for a shower. And there was water was only trickling there. I don't know. It must have been a desert, this Auschwitz. And the latrines were miles long. They're really like the old-fashioned, not running water sort of thing. And after a few weeks, they selected my sister and myself to work. And we did the wagons, the provisions that arrived, coal and vegetables, I don't have it, sugar beet, and perhaps sometimes carrots and
sweets.
And what is the big one? The
pumpkins.
And flour. And, but these provisions were mostly for the Germans. Flour, sugar, and coal. We had to unload coal from the trucks. But we worked, but we had an extra provision in the evening when we went back to the barracks, from 2 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night.
You mean extra food?
We had on the way, when we finished the unloading, we had another provision of bread with a slice of something, cucumber or a bit of margarine.
How were the trucks unloaded? With baskets or something?
No. Hands.
By hand. Were you able to take any of the food for your own use?
Well, no. The supervision was very, very strict. But we went to work because it was better for us. 2 o'clock in the morning, they woke us up, and whatever came in was unloaded.
Who was doing the supervision there?
We had, actually, this German was not bad. She was a middle-aged woman who even listened to our complaints because the actual supervision, there were the Polish, political prisoners. They had a little bit more free hand than us.
How did they behave?
Bad. Very bad.
In what way?
Well, they were driving us, but the German herself was surprised because she was standing behind, or they were standing behind. And they really drove us. 4,000 bread we unloaded every afternoon.
Why do you think they behaved badly?
They were just cruel, that's all. They were just as inmates as we were. They were lived in the barracks under the same condition. The only thing is that some of them, I don't know where they won this privilege, were put to supervise us. But I had a very bad one, so I don't have one that can say that much.
Were you able to cope with the work personally? Were you strong enough?
Yes. Yes, I did it. I don't know why, but I did it. I wanted to do it. I thought it will be better for survival. It will be better if I work.
So could you have got off that job if you had wished? If you had wished, could you have avoided
that? No, you
that
could not get off the job. You could just stay behind a little bit or, you know, come a little bit later, but I did not want to be punished, just in case.
Did you suffer any punishment at that time?
I was beaten up once for really a silly reason by one of these Polish girls.
What happened?
We were unloading these pumpkins, and I'm very small, and the wagons are very high. And I did not reach the big one, what she thought I will take, because there were girls up in the wagon and girls down on the ground. She saw me taking a smaller one, selecting this my unload. So she really beat me up.
With her fist?
No, with her stick, what had a dog's head on it. And the German really took her off the post that time, the German woman.
For beating you?
Yeah. She watched.
So this girl disappeared?
No, she did not disappear, but she went back to the barracks. So she, if you worked, you had an extra provision, and that what was very good.
How badly were you hurt from the beating?
Well, I was black and blue all over, but I could carry on work as well.
Were you beaten on any other occasion?
No.
Were you sick at the time? Did you get any sickness?
Well, I was not sick, but while we were working with food, we had to have a blood test. And they found typhus germs in my blood. But the simple reason, we were all injected before we left Hungary. And then, of course, they used us, because there was a lot of typhus. There was a camp full of... and they took blood. They pumped pints of blood.
So was it typhus or typhoid?
Typhoid, is it typhoid? But it spreads from when there is crisis and typhoid, yes.
So that was just from the injection that you
from had? The injection, because they put me into the isolation hospital. And there I had temperature, but I shook the thermometer every day because I did not want to die.
Who had given you the injection in Hungary? Was it voluntary or...?
No. The Hungarian the authorities.
At Monor?
No, in Vác, before they took us to Monor.
That's when you met Mengele in the hospital, yes?
Yeah, but that was in Auschwitz.
So when you were in the
hospital... When they took the blood test, we went back to work. And one morning, three of us were called. Mengele came. You heard about Mengele?
Yes.
And with his deputies. And he called us, by that time we had number
on the arm.
And he called our number, and we said goodbye to everybody. If you were taken by Mengele, we really thought is goodbye. We gave away all our little possession, like a pair of sock and a piece of soap and whatever, I don't know what else, a bundle of little salt, because salt was not available.
So he was well known in the camp?
Oh, yes.
Did you know him by the name of Mengele?
Yeah. I saw him when we came in, and I saw him again then when he called our number.
Can you describe his appearance?
A very good looking, tall, young man.
How was he dressed?
Well, in German uniform, yes.
Was he smart?
Very smart. Very smart.
So what happened when you had your number called by him?
Well, they called our number and they took this blood. And the girl who took the blood said that what's happening, you've got these germs in your blood, and I think they used it for treating the... And then they took me into hospital. They took us into hospital. And every day the doctors came and saw that I have got no temperature because I shook the thermometer down. So after 3 days, they let us out, let me out. Because my sister, she was in, she had scarlet fever. She also was in the isolated hospital. So we couldn't be both of us in hospital. So I went out.
Did you actually have a temperature, do you think?
Well, if they took my temperature, there was a slight temperature. But I carried on working. But the word was survival.
But did you have the, actually have the disease?
I haven't had the disease, no.
So you had no just, symptoms of
no.
typhoid? Did you spend any other period in the hospital then?
No.
How were you treated in the hospital?
Well, there were Jewish doctors and nurses around there. I mean, they were just supervised. When they went around, the doctor, the German went with them.
Did you get less food in the hospital?
No. We only had once a day.
Did you see anything of what else was happening in the hospital to other people?
No, that was the isolation hospital. That was not fully occupied.
Did you hear of experiments on people whilst you were there?
Well, I heard, but I did not see anything of it. I only know that a few babies were born in my barrack. It was bundled up in paper and taken away to them because it was safer that way for the mother.
Who took them away?
Well, these people, the block älteste, what they called, who was the supervisor of the block. They had the experience already. They were the 30, the woman who looked after our barrack was there 30 months already from Czechoslovakia. And that what she advised to the... They managed to come in, they were not noticed that they are pregnant. Otherwise they could not come in.
Did the mothers resist having their babies taken away?
No, you see, the word was survival. And they just did not...
Where did they put this baby?
No, where did they put them? In the incinerator, that's all.
How many of these babies were there?
Two babies were born in my barrack. I know.
Were they born in the barracks or in the hospital?
No, there on the wherever we slept.
So it had to be concealed from the authorities?
Yeah.
So the other women helped with the delivery?
Yes, but they were not only youngsters. Like my mother was there, and there was another couple of women with their daughters and so on.
How long were you doing the job on unloading, do you think?
I was doing the job till October, when they started to liquidate the camp because the Russians were nearing Poland. And then, of course, they liquidated the kitchens as well, slowly, slowly. They selected people every single day. A group of German officers came in. And they selected my sister and myself and the other people from our barrack. They looked at their eyes and our hands. And they accepted us. And then we went through the procedure again, yes, with a disinfection, with a closing change, closing what? They did not cut our hair that time. And...
Didn't you work in the kitchen at one time?
Well, that was combined with the unloading of the... I took over on their job in the kitchen from a cousin of mine. She did not want to lose the job.
Why did you have to take over from her?
She did not want to lose her job. She got ill. Because the water was so bad in Auschwitz. It was rust. And her feet got very bad, so she asked me to take her job a while.
How long did you do the job for her?
About 3 weeks. But I have to stand on bricks to do the mixing of the food. And 300 liter containers that was heated with wood and coal.
Because of not being tall enough.
Yes, and I stood on bricks. When the mostly dry vegetables were cooked, and when the food was ready, then the German bought the bromide to put into the food.
Did you see them doing it?
Yes. Well, I mixed it in. In every single container, they put in a... It changed that color, it changed the smell, and that's what kept the people calm.
What was it, a powder?
A powder.
What color?
It was a pale yellow powder.
Could you taste it in the food?
Yes. Definitely.
What did it taste like?
It changed. It changed. First of all, it turned the food black, dark gray, and you could smell it as well.
Was it unpleasant?
Well, we ate it because we were hungry. My mother would not eat it. I know.
Presumably it was a good job to have a job in the kitchens. Did it mean that you got more food?
We did not get more food. We only had the food what we had while we worked in the morning and in the night.
Was it impossible?
But we could pick up a cabbage leaf, for instance, or a raw potato. What was... I did not eat it, but I carried it into the barracks and I gave it away on the way because the people were begging.
So you couldn't get extra food from the kitchens?
No.
Why was that? Because it was so closely supervised?
Well, where should I take it? There was nowhere to take it, food. I could eat a raw potato if I wanted, because they did not count the potatoes into the containers, or a cabbage leaf, yes? We did chew on things because we did not bite on anything, and the teeth were very fragile. No salt and no hard things to chew on.
How big were these kitchens? Huge?
Yes, very big. It was about 20 such a containers to cook the food.
With hundreds of people working in them?
Every container had 2 people. So they changed over to mixing and putting the vegetables. Well, mostly dry vegetables were cooked. And in the afternoon then there was this black muck, I don't know what it was, instead of tea or coffee. Also something, an extract from vegetables.
Ersatz.
Yeah, but we left there overnight and we dished it out at 2 o'clock in the morning. They started to carry it around in containers.
So these containers are like big boilers, were
they? Yeah, yeah.
And you had to clean the kitchen every day.
And clean the kitchen spick and span. The margarine what they dished out to the inmates with the bread, they saved the papers and we have to polish these containers with this margarine paper and wash the ceiling with water and hose it down. But they did not give water to the people to drink.
Were you thirsty all the time?
But there was, as I said, there was a row of this water pipe. It was trickling the water all day. The people just went there and took whatever they managed.
Whilst you were there, did you witness any executions?
Well, as I said before, I saw one young girl who did not turn up to the Zählappell, and they really they tortured her until she died.
How did they do that?
Well, it was this Greze was the top of the head of the camp. And she made a Zählappell for 12 o'clock in the biggest heat. There were no trees there. And the music came to play. And the inmates had to do it. She did not do it. She just said what to do. They were beating her and turning her. And she collapsed, they washed her up with a bucket.